It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, not afraid, but afeared. You know, relatively concerned. I try, fear is not a weapon that I use. You know, be afraid, oh my goodness, they're coming. But, you know, if you have an understanding of the truth, well, hopefully it'll, you know, alter your decision making on a daily basis. What we're talking about, you know, is a lot of stuff. A continuation of this. I'll tell you what the theme is. In the first hour, you hear that you have the Arizona Breakfast Club, which is a very well-known conservative organization group that's been around for 40 years, but it's gone into the hands of the crazy, wacko, tie-dye-wearing, dope-smoking, gun-toting libertarian Ernest Hancock. How the heck did that happen? Because the fundamental truths that it was based on and so on, they felt more comfortable with us than, I don't know, who else. So what was their main mission? You know, it was this collectivism against communism. As time went on, they started to realize, especially since the fall of the wall in Germany and the disillusionment of the Soviet Union, that they started to see the collectivism that was in our own government. And it took time. I mean, people are starting to come to the realization that, you know, for every reason that they opposed the communist regime, we have the same reasoning here. The mission of CSI. Now, this is Green Cross International, headed by Mikhail Gorbachev. To ensure a sustainable and secure future, to achieve this, CSI promotes legal, ethical, and behavioral norms that ensure basic changes in the values, actions, and attitudes of government, the private sector, and civil society necessary to a sustainable global community. I don't know how much more socialist you can get than that. We promote legal, all right? They're going to change laws, ethical, and behavioral norms. They want to change people in the government and the private sector and civil society necessary to a sustainable global community, whatever they define that as. These are the kinds of things that we're going up against. And you think that this is isolated of itself. It's kind of this thing that's not married in with the global bad guy, we want to rule you thing. It's the same philosophy. Even if it's not the same faction, because eventually they will meld. And I'll tell you what these guys need, want, and eventually will get, national ID. You see, you can't control people unless you know who and what they are. You know, how much gas is that person buying? How much fuel do they use? Who is the, you know, I remember there was an old Partridge Family episode, you know, come on, get happy. Remember those guys, David Cassidy and so on? You know, and they run around their psychedelic bus with mom and, you know, and they're playing the guitar and drums and all that kind of stuff. There was an episode to where they had that they, if you use too much energy, they put your name on a blackboard. And, you know, I'll finish that story when we come back. And I could see the penetration as I think back in my youth of how they were indoctrinating us. This continues. And they got modern versions of it. We'll talk about it when we come back. God, no, I want to break free.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, in our ever-improving freedomsphoenix.com workshop. Yep, getting all kinds of goodies done. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. We're going to have some new and fresh stuff for you on the site. Yeah, that's another thing. The site was down for about 20 minutes this morning. Oh, dang it. But because we're doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, they're promising me within 2 weeks that we're going to have the site redone. What's happened is our capacity needs to be increased. We have to get faster processors, bigger memory, more storage, blah, 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 because the usage is really it's kind of an exponential thing. I mean, you're going, yeah, you know, if we, you know, double, we need to get going on this a few months ago because, you know, if we double in the next 6 months or so, we're going to be, well, all of a sudden it triples, quadruples, and we're going, whoa, 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 whoa. So we're having to totally redo a lot of the stuff, which we needed to do anyway. We know we're just kind of more urgent about it because the traffic is really taxing the servers. So we put in more powerful stuff. We got the Uber, you know, libertarians aren't short of computer geeks. So we're working on it now. Every now and then it'll be kind of tight. We have to reset it and so on. And we're putting in automatic code that resets stuff so that when it goes down, it goes back up within a few minutes and stuff as we continue to redo the databases so that it's more streamlined. Because we have a lot of graphics. We have a lot of, you know, video. We have a lot of stuff that the way we want to share information with you. And a lot of this is kind of beta testing. Because what happens when all of a sudden we're already in the top Alexa 100,000 on the planet, which is, you know, that's a first barrier you go through is like, are you the top 100,000 of the web pages on the planet? And then are you the top 50,000? Are you the top? Well, we, you know, jumped into the 40,000s every now and then. So it's really doing well. Well, what happens is we have to be able to manage that capacity. That's a lot of traffic. And in addition to the traffic of people just going and looking, every time you click on something, you go and you get the picture. You know, it's a lot of data that's transferred. The videos, the audios for the show keeps getting more and more popular. So it's just, you know, this kind of information, it taxes a site to where we know what we got to do, so we're doing it. So bear with us for another couple of weeks, and we'll just, it just keeps, a lot of times, a lot of people don't even notice, but we do on the back end, you know, oh, wow. Well, there's a reason. There's an awakening. There's people, you know, this message is, and until Dr. Paul, there really was quite a few people that were doing this. Even the Libertarian Party itself was getting skittish. They're just like, yeah, but, you know, ooh, it's just so, oh, dude, people are criticizing us, you know. Well, that means you're doing it right, dummy. You know, so I call them shiny badgers. You know, those guys that get in, oh, we're going to be respectable and they're going to, you know, invite us to the Christmas parties and we get to go to the country club and kind of, no, you're not. Not unless you become scummy. I don't want to associate with these guys. Ugh. But we do on a regular basis anyway because they invite us, you know, it serves their purpose to have us included, makes them look good. And then we stay hardcore. And that just gives us respect. Because if you start to cave on these issues, what good are you? You're going to be more scummy than the R's and D's? Like, are you going to compete with them? I mean, you're not even in the office. You don't even have anything to give anybody. Why would they care? Principle is the only currency that we have. Well, I want to finish that story about the Partridge Family episode because it just kind of it gives you an idea how you target a culture. You have a popular television show that's watched by families and so on. And they go, you know, there was an episode where they said, energy usage. Now, keep in mind, this is back in the early 70s and such. They go, energy usage. We got to get, you know, environmental and green and Arbor Day and tree planting and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they had the idea, Danny Bonaducci's character, Danny or where it was, the bass player, he goes, I'm going, you know, we should put names on the chalkboard. When you do something bad in school, they put your name on the chalkboard. And it's bad. So they go, oh, that's a good idea. What we'll do is the people per household have so many people per household, those that use over a certain amount of energy, will put their name in the newspaper and they're bad. Well, then, of course, you know, they start to see that their family is going to go on the list if they keep using it and all their blow dryers and everything. So they the whole episode is about how they're turning off the power and not and all that kind of stuff. Well, then I go, okay, I can see, you know, peer pressure and so on. Is that really a proper role of, you know, government or whatever? I don't know. That's not even the point. Then just this last year in Las Vegas, they wanted to do the same kind of thing for water usage. Well, I have some friends in Las Vegas, and they have two homes in a cul-de-sac that they took out the backyard, so the backyards are all together because they had a mother-in-law that had Alzheimer's. They had her caregiver and her living in one home and had some offices and stuff in there, and they lived in the other home. We have a big yard, and they use a lot of water and stuff, and they got a pool and water features and all of a sudden, you know, whatever. But it's kind of really – it's not really accurate to say that they use as much water as they did for just these two people, because really you had a bunch of other people and staff and friends coming over and people that lived with them and so on. So it really, you know, chop it down. But all of a sudden they're getting calls from friends. Hey, you're on the list. Look at this. Has your name right here, you big water user in Las Vegas desert. Bad wrist slapping people. And they were, I mean, they'll live. I mean, they just like, you know, whatever. How stupid is this? Because what criteria are they using? It was just a mechanism to try and shame people into whatever, and it wasn't even accurate. Do you even call the paper? Well, they're good friends with one of the editorial page editors, Vince Aprenowitz, and of course it's mentioned to him, and it's just, you know, it's just more crap. But it's the kind of thing that they would use against individuals without any real knowledge or anything. It's just, you know, they just make this up as they go along to do what? Promote legal, ethical, and behavioral norms that ensure basic changes in the values, actions, and attitudes of government, private sector, and society and individuals. So I'm going, wow, it's a psyop. Everything is a psychological operation. It is to turn a human being into a battery for the machine. It is to voluntarily get you to be enslaved, to voluntarily get you to accept the programming, to voluntarily what? You know, I can see this on, so as I get older, I can see it's over and over and over. The media, why would large media corporations retain these newspapers that are losing money big time? Oh man, they're just, they're losing money. So why would they maintain them in a market that they know is dying? Because they need them. They need them. They need them to propagate their propaganda. Because their value is not just the bottom line on the advertisers. Their value comes from being able to socially and economically engineer people to promote legal, ethical, and behavioral norms that ensure basic changes in the values, actions, and attitudes. They're right out front about it. That's what they do. It's a psyop. So the local newspaper is there to continue, because where do they benefit? Here, the Arizona Republic is owned by Gannett, which also has the local NBC television affiliate, which also has, which also has, which also has. In fact, there for a time, I don't know if it still is, back when we cared, they had the regional person in charge of 14 Western newspapers of Gannett move from Reno to Phoenix to get away from a bunch of controversy they had up there with her getting paid board direct on with the casinos and them doing all kinds of stuff in support of the casinos and business, blah, 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 blah. And she comes here and then does the same thing here with the developers here in Arizona. It's this collective, we rule you, we're going to spend your money the way we want because we can, and you're too dumb to know what is best for you. So we'd highlight this stuff. They all, the programs are a bust, or they go to crap, or they cost too much, or they have to be subsidized, or, I mean, they don't care. These programs for the developers, let me tell you who gets paid first, the guy that built it. I mean, you know, maybe the guy that owns it, you know, he may go bankrupt. Maybe the bank, you know, has something to write off on their line. But you know what? The guy that built it got paid. That's the first guy that gets paid. You know the guy that poured the concrete, the construction company that did the steel, you know the person that did the architecture. You know these guys get paid first. Then the banks and the people that spend other people's money, they don't care. How this stuff works. So where are we now? We're in a situation to where it's a revolutionary time. And I really got a good confirmation that I knew it. But, I mean, man, if the confirmation wasn't, you know, oh, my goodness, this last weekend. A lot of people. The average age has gotten much younger. The younger people see older people as the threat. You're going to enslave them. You advocate taking their money. You advocate putting them, on the production line to get milked for you. They know this. They want to be your friend. They want to be your ally. But they're not taking it lying down. And that's the actions that you're seeing.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B movie. Headlong down the highway, and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping, and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, there's a little something you can do about it. You know, how about let's just understand some history, a little bit of the truth, and see what's up. You know, this is, I'll give you a little bit of the history. I found, the article that kind of got me going on this. In 1950, Lefebvre, it was Robert Lefebvre was the name I was looking for, not Leonard Reed. It's Robert Lefebvre. Because he was very influential in a lot of things, you know, and there was an overlap where he came in contact with Lefebvre. It goes here, a few years later, Lefebvre went to work for the right wing in a big way, became vice president of Merwin K. Hart's National Economic Council, director of the Congress of Freedom, and director of the U.S., sometimes United States, Day Committee, whose purpose it was to diminish in importance the observation of October 23rd as United Nations Day, and an advisor to Harry Everingham's We the People. The U.S. Day Committee made headlines in 1954 at the same time as Edgar Bundy when Lefebvre led an attack on the Girl Scout handbook as having too many references to the United Nations. The Girl Scouts retreated, reporting that more than 40 changes had been made, about half of which were due to Lefebvre's criticism. So that's where they had the overlap. And that's where, as an advisor to We the People, which is Harry Everingham's thing. So he knew, one of the foundations of this, libertarian thing. Now, what they had done is, the Freedom School was founded in 1956 to conduct a school for students 16 years old and over to teach primarily the libertarian philosophy of individualism. The courses run for a two-week period and cost from $60, workshops for advanced students, to $350 for a course in explorations in human actions limited to executives. This is what I was talking about, the executives. Faculty members are drawn from other organizations and institutions. They include Frank Chodorov, a former editor of The Freeman and a founder of the Intercollegiate Society of Individuals, Rose Wilder Lane, a benefactress of the school. One of the buildings is named for her. Now, this is, they have, 526 acres outside the town of Larkspur, Colorado. It's a few miles north of Colorado Springs. It's in a beautiful campus that sits in a valley of, fir trees and so on in the Rocky Mountains up there. I didn't know this place existed. I mean, heck, I wasn't even born until, 5 years after this. So I, as time goes on and you start to do research and you come across names, and if you pay attention to the older folks and you really want to get their history, because more than I wanted the facts, I wanted to understand their perspective. Why did they believe what they believed? Where did this come from? And that's why, when I give speeches and so on, I always give the deal. I go, look, I'm not here to convince you. My job, my goal, my effort is not to convince you of anything. I just want to do my best to make sure you understand why I am so convinced. That's it. And if I approached it that way with these more seasoned individuals, okay, what was it? Why do you say that? Where did that come from? What emotional string got plucked that made you feel this about? I mean, because emotion, even Ayn Rand understood what the power of emotion was. And for those of you who don't know, I'll tell you this story. Nathaniel Brandon, Brandon Institute and so on, was in the 50s and early 60s a confidant of Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand, you know, objectivism, kind of the foundation of a lot of libertarian stuff, but not really. I mean, libertarianism is just, you know, leave me alone. It's not like an assertive thing. It's not go out and do something to anybody. It's just be left alone. I don't do whatever you want. Just leave me alone. Objectivism is more like a religion. Of non-religion, you know, they're big atheists, you know, and they're, you know, rational thinking, you know, A is A, and whatever it is, and there's nothing you can do about it, and we got it, and you got to go and fight, and freedom, and do, and government should, and so she was kind of real, so anti-communist, she was real willing to have military go, you know, free people somewhere else. So that's where kind of the difference is. Well, you have this ideology of libertarianism that's been around for a long time to teach primarily the libertarian philosophy of individualism. Now, this was from an article written in 1967. This is 4 or 5 years before the creation of the Libertarian Party. They were already labeling this libertarian philosophy of individualism. Libertarianism was already a well-understood philosophy way before the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party was a side effect of this, not the cause of it. And that's one thing we got to remember. Because these people understood what was happening. The complaint from Harry, and I understood it later, you know, after doing some research, it sent me off into, you know, what the heck was going on. They saw the executive group of this training that they did, the workshop, the exploration in human actions, which was limited to, you know, CEOs and so on. And it was $350, which now would be like thousands. I mean, that's like a lot. And this was a mechanism by which they learned that the United States government was also part of the problem. That collectivism in the social and economic engineering of people was the problem, that they had deviated from the Declaration of Independence and what the proper rule of government was. So they took a lot of their frontline soldiers away from the right, and it made them angry. That's what's happening now with the Lovevolution. Same thing.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800 313-943.
Yeah, she got a face like a gent. And she's a real good liar. Who's that make me think of? Jen Napolitano! I said it. There you go. And every time we play a song, I just can't help it. I think of her. The one thing that I wanted to make sure, I'm going to go ahead and put it up here, and I'll get the graphic up later. But this link to this article is very interesting. I'll put it in today's archive because there is a lot of things that a lot of us just didn't know. There was a long history of libertarianism versus conservatism and the right and everything from back in the day. And I can tell you where the difference was, and it's a lot of what you hear on this show, is that the conservatives at the time, they were seeking the ring of power. We must combine together to take the ring of power, and then we'll have the power, and they won't have the power. We don't want them to have the power. We want the power. And the libertarian philosophy was like, man, it's the power that's the problem. That's where we're having the issues. That's where we need to fix the way the stinking thinking that we got, that somehow we're going to beat the collective with a bigger, badder collective, because you aren't going to get a bigger, badder collective. Not the way, not organized the way you think. I mean, I don't know. You got bigger guns? Are you willing to kill more people? Are you willing to be more ruthless? And I mean, then what's the point? You know, that's why I'm, you know, violent revolution. I mean, I'm all about defense. Yeah, you know, I'm a defending, you know, my life and liberty, you know, kind of guy. But if I'm going to go attack someone, well, I'm just better just go somewhere else. I'll vote with my feet, man. I'm over here. I'm good. Because if you're going to do that, what happens when you win? Now you're a killing, slaughtering SOB in charge. Or somebody is. You know, it's kind of like the Castro thing. You know, I just, whenever you have successful coups, you have people that were willing to, you know, kill and maim to get position of power. Yay. That's who I want. Not. So I really emphasize the love, the peaceful. When I was talking this last weekend to all these young activists and a lot of men, they're all, you know, let's go be free. And they got the right attitude. They understand it's a change themselves thing. So if you look into the past and you see where these separations start and why it is so important for the media to be used to perpetuate this this lie that freedom-oriented individuals, individualists, libertarians, whatever, are the enemies of, I don't know, whatever it is that they want to promote, and most notably of recent is neocons, you know, Republicans. When I had these people that were just, oh, Bob Dole's the Antichrist right up until he got the Republican nomination, that's when I left the Breakfast Club for a while. I said, you know, I love you guys and I understand and I, you know, but I can't. I just can't be part of this. Are you kidding me? You know, this is like a mental illness you guys got. Seriously? I I'm going to go over here and you guys go play a Republican thing for a while. And then we went into the Bush thing. He's not a nation builder. He's going to be, you know, we're going to be good. And at least they were supporting him for what they perceived to be the right reasons. Then 9/11 happened and all of a sudden he's not crazy anymore. So I'm going there. I go, well, we told you this would happen. I go, if we do this, if we take over the Breakfast Club, it's going to be different. It's going to go back to the founding, you know, kind of what you guys were about from the beginning, back in the late 60s. We're going to go into, you know, freedom good and government generally sucks unless it's supporting freedom. Is it? Well, then that pretty much sucks. So this isn't like hard. So a lot of the people that have been around for over 30 something years are still there. Now, a lot of the guys still come, but it's grown. But it started to wane until it was going down, almost winking out. And then we took it and said, when you're ready, you know, we're going to rock and roll and whatnot. So we changed it to once a month and went year round because every week was, we're just too busy. So I said, what we'll do instead of taking a break for the summer, we'll go ahead and have, you know, like, you know, sometimes we take off for Christmas and depends on when, you know, the Freedom Summit comes, usually that weekend. If it's in the beginning of the month, we'll take the Breakfast Club and make it part of the summit and give them discounts. And we'll do, so we generally have about 10 meetings a month. And this April 3rd, this Saturday, we're going to take a break and go up to Rock Springs, which is north of Phoenix up here, and it has a, you know, where a lot of bikers go to do, and they have this Saturday, that afternoon, is Hogs and Heat, and it's like a big barbecue thing, and it's in a wash up there, and that time of year, it's beautiful, and it's nice, and it's cool, and breezes, and some of the best weather you get in Arizona, and yeehaw, we're going to have a good time right after we have a later Breakfast Club. We'll start at 9 and go to like 11, and then we'll go to Hogs and Heat and see how much beer we can drink. So this is, you know, we're going to just have some fun. We deserve it. We need a break. But these people are starting to meld. I'm seeing it happen. And Loveolution, it was just a manifestation of it. They didn't cause it. They didn't make it. I already knew it was there. I was just helping encouraging it, you know, just giving it a rallying point, not even a collective. There's no database or meetings or any of that crap. You know, it's just, you know, here, we're over here having fun. Who wants to have fun? Let's not advocate, you know, being bad guys. Okay, I can do that. How do you determine what's a bad guy? Right now, there is a schism here in the Republican Party over this Russell Pierce's bill on the immigration thing. And this was their argument. The language was so clear that this was national ID that you couldn't understand how they were saying it wasn't national ID. And anybody looking at this, anybody that had any, I mean, they were getting a lot of the really older, diehard, heavy, invested in anti-immigration, 60, 70, 80-year-old Republicans that they can get rallied in whatever database, mailing, postcard, go down the legislature, make the phone call kind of stuff. But they're being overwhelmed by, you know, a lot of other people are going, I can see what this is. This is their argument that they're trying to maintain this coalition. Even though the bill says that no law enforcement person can have any law at any level of government in the state of Arizona can be held responsible for anything they do under the name of papers, please, asking for your identification to determine your citizenship and so on. Even though that you cannot stop them from running anything through a national database, even though any law enforcement official cannot be held responsible for anything that happens from them running your name through any TSA, Homeland Security, doing yada, 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 yada. I mean, it's this whole thing, national ID. But when they stop you, it doesn't require that they run you. And they said it's not national ID because the legislation does not require a law enforcement official to run you. Because it doesn't require it, it's not national ID. And wow. Do you buy that? That's what they're saying. You know, I didn't tell, mainly because I forgot. You know, Monday afternoon, I'm coming back from, or was it Sunday? I think it was Monday afternoon. I'm coming back from New Hampshire. I land at the airport and I check my phone messages, and I got a message from a guy named Joe Canefield. Now, Joe Canefield is an attorney for Governor Brewer, but I know him when he was attorney for her when she was Secretary of State. You know, I've appeared on live television with him before debating election fraud, you know, through computers. And they thought, they're going to send him in. He's going to take care of Ernie. We brought him, got rid of Jessica Funkhauser. She wasn't doing very well, and she went off to whatever. She was an attorney for him. And I had been in lawsuits with Jessica Funkhauser when she was an attorney with for county elections. Because I, you know, in the county clerk's office, and I'm always doing something. They're doing something stupid. And, you know, it's easy for me to point it out. And I get my government number. I file suit. And look how stupid they're being and stupid they're being. They go, well, you know, the judge isn't going to, I don't care. Everybody knows what they're doing. I say, everybody got it. You got beat on it, spotlight on it, got a little government number. You do your report on it. You see what they're doing. They're being bad, right? They're going to justify whatever they're going to do and whatever, and I don't care. But everybody knows what they're doing, right? Okay, I'm good. I'm done. I'm good. I do my own attorney thing. It cost me $100 or something to file it. I'm good. Done. Got it papered. Got it on record. Put it on Freeman's Phoenix. This is what you do, you scum. I'm good. What else do I need to do? Psyop. Psyop. To who? The people, not the judge. I don't give a rip what he says. I just want on record. So I have a lot of my cases are used in continuing education. A lot of attorneys. That's why I get calls like, wow, man, I didn't know that was, man, that rocked right on. You know, I'm going, yep. You know, so just paper and file. So Jessica goes on to whatever. They replace her with this young guy, Joe Canefield. So he comes in. I'm going, all right, Joe, let me tell you how this relationship's going to go. You just do your job, man. I mean, don't, what's on my back? Tell me it's raining. Okay. Just don't lie to me. Yeah, you can do whatever. You can be a baby. You can play all your lawyer stuff, and they're your client and whatever. But, I mean, don't even start. Man, I'll start going after you personally for being a lying sack of snot. Prosecutors that, you know, withhold evidence and doing, you know, this kind of just, you know, stuff that they do, don't make me mad. Then we can just be buddies. Okay. So that's pretty much the relationship that we've had. I've been in lawsuits with him. I don't know, a couple. So he leaves Secretary of State. I guess he went, followed Jan Brewer, which was Secretary of State when she became governor, when Napolitano became Director of Homeland Security. So I get a call from him. It's a message, and it says, Ernie, word up, man. You know, it's Joe Canefield. Happening. He goes, well, I hear that you have a problem with Pierce's bill. You think it has national ID. And so I'm doing research for the governor. I just wanted to talk to you about it, what your concerns are. We're kind of formulating our opinion. You know, it's kind of giving the impression that, well, we haven't made up our minds yet. We're kind of seeing what your input is on how we might. Yeah, who you BSing? Yeah, I ain't calling back. I know this guy. I know what he is. You know, I just put it out of my mind. Heck, I forgot about it for a day and a half until last night. I get a call from a reporter asking me about what response. I go, nah, nobody's calling. I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, Canfield did. That's right. I forgot about that. Because I just, you know, I just ignore these guys because I know what his thing is. He wanted to tell me that little bit of information that it doesn't require national IDing of anybody that law enforcement comes in touch with. So then it's not national ID if it doesn't require that they do it. Because previous pieces of legislation, I think Russell did. Yeah, every time you come in contact with anybody, boom, you got a national ID them. You got to make, man, are you, everybody comes in contact with everybody, man, they really want to get this immigrant thing going on. I'm just like, is it really immigration or is it the national ID thing? Or are they kind of supporting each other? Or are they, you know, linked at the hip? Did they commit to each other? There's something weird going on. Weird. Do they really just hate brown people that much? Is there some kind of, you know, is it a cultural thing? Is it a religious thing? Is it, what is the thing? I mean, for decades, I mean, this is, you know, Russell's thing, man. Ooh, got to get him. There's something, man. He had an old Mexican girlfriend, did him wrong or something. I mean, there's some emotional thing in here or financial or whatever else makes him feel better about himself. I went, okay, well, it's not him alone. I mean, you know, he's just, you know, the front. So I'm going, all right. There's no reason to call him. I may call him later just for grins and giggles and record it for you guys. Yeah. Okay. I'll do it. I'll call him. That's right. I can do that. You know, I have the equipment here. I can go ahead and call him and say, hello. Well, hello. Happening. I'll let you know how this goes. They don't listen to the show, you know? Well, maybe they do, but anyway, so I'll see what's up. So what they want to do is do what they always do. They want to instill doubt. And now, Ernie, well, according to the thing, it doesn't really require, so it's not. And I'm like, yeah, who are you? Did you draw the short straw? Did you draw the short straw? Is that what happened? Now you're going to call me? Now you're going to be the one that's going to try and convince me? Or to do what? What? How did you wind up drawing the short straw? Where did that come from? Seriously? You think, I mean, hey, how many lawsuits I've been with you guys? How many times have I done this? And then you're the one calling me. How in the heck did that happen? You know, so, yeah, I guess it'd be worth calling. Yeah, I just don't care. So I'll give them a call and we'll see what's up. But it's already passed. Yesterday they voted this national ID thing. They kind of did an amendment. They're trying to tell all the activists going, hey, we did you a favor because we added an amendment. So it has to go to conference committee and then they have to do another vote and it's got more steps. We'll see if you guys keep bugging us and whatever. And yesterday there was so much email that went through the system and so on this kind of thing. They went and they turned off the legislators' emails for 9 hours. Just turned them off so they wouldn't get them. I'm going, wow. And we find out these things because we know people. You know, that's one thing a lot of people don't understand. You know, how do we libertarians find out all this stuff? Because freedom is supported by more people than they realize. You know, the golf caddy, you know, the restroom attendant valet, the car valet, the waiter. You know, all these guys, they're libertarians. They're friends. They're people that I know that can't. You know, we used to get a lot of information from one of the television camera guys. You know, the camera guy behind the camera, he's invisible. He's nothing. He's nobody. And you'll have the reporters and the production and producers and anchors and all these guys, blah, 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 how they're going to screw somebody and do something and spin it and do whatever. And, you know, and who's the guy that, you know, they never pay any attention to? The engineer, the guy on the soundboard, the guy behind the camera. Well, you think any of these might kind of be leaning semi a little bit freedom-oriented kind of people? And who do they call? Well, they call the publisher of Freedom's Phoenix. They call the Maricopa County Chairman of the Libertarian Party. They call, you know, the candidate running against Scumbag De La, whatever. I get these calls, and Barry Hess, he and I both, we get these calls all the time. Interns, employees of, assistants, everything. It's just, it's a deluge. It's a flood. You know, and a lot of times for these guys' mental health, we just send them to different pages. Yep, you know, go to this category in Freedom's Phoenix, man. You know, join the club. This is really, you know, when they do this or say this, you know, let us know a little bit more about this. Let us know when this happens. Let us know what they said about this. This is how we know. A lot of guys in the media, print media, too, they know what's coming. And I want to make sure you know what's coming, and prepare.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Survive, but we just kept rocking and rolling and whatnot, just like the freedom movement. You know what do we do? You know, just keep hope alive. You know why? I don't know what else we got, because when you don't have anything else going for you, hope usually a good fill-in. Well, I want to give you some hope. This battle has been going on. What I wanted to demonstrate today, I had the other stuff I wanted to go on, but I just got, you know, because I can. And I wanted to, it's important to me to give you some history of how someone that has been around this even much longer than me, the listeners of this station, this audience, for you to understand that this exact same battle has been going on for a very long time, even before the American Revolution. Exactly the same battle. The Declaration of Independence versus the U.S. Constitution, guys. Same battle. Lefebvre versus Harry Everingham. Exactly the same battle. Ron Paul Revolution versus the Tea Party, Fox Clear Channel, RNC crap. Same battle. The battle is advocating for control of the ring of power and eliminating the ring of power. To be the person behind the lever, doing away with the lever. It's about individual freedom. What is the proper role of government? If we don't rewire ourselves into understanding this, we're going to get wired like the Green Cross does. You know, this Green Cross thing is real. These guys are, you know, what's their deal? Governments are still not doing enough to protect the environment. Countries should adhere to environmental principles to avoid irreparable damage to the planet. It's 5 minutes to midnight. Mikhail Gorbachev, founding president and member of the board. Because what's their goal? And this is right after the Soviet Union falls and he goes on to a U.S. military base. What do you think is going on? Who do you think is behind this stuff? How does that happen? How does that even happen? To promote legal, ethical, and behavioral norms that ensure basic changes in the values, actions, and attitudes of government. The private sector. Civil society. This is what the battle is. I keep saying, I go, it's just a psyop. It's a psychological operation. But my optimism is what? That they have to spend gazillions of dollars. I mean, trillions of dollars over decades in public education and propaganda. MTV rocked the vote. You know, celebrities doing, you know, Live Aid to fill in the blank. This is what they have to do to combat something that within a year, bam, the Lovolution totally screwed up their stuff. Well, they got to amp up the speed on them taking over the mindset of the people. In fact, they'll lose money with all their print media in order just to have that conduit, because they're in competition with you. The power to forward emails, the power to send a link on Freedom's Phoenix to your friends. We gave you that power. It says email link. Boom. Send it off. This is a battle of minds. I've always known that. And that's where I fight it. If I ever get a government number, which I used to do a lot because before the internet, it was just to get attention to see how bad somebody was doing something. Well, now we pretty much know that. Now, we just need to survive it. On the other side, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first.